is in the air. First ever stage win at the Cup level. Ryan Preece across the line. He really took off, and that's what caused him a penalty at that exit out. Segment number 12, the final segment here, is where Ryan Preece got busted. This will be stage career win number 39 for Kevin Harvick and his first of the season.
Spectacular racing for the win this afternoon at Martinsville. Larson this time, he's got him in turn two. He pulls back up in front of him. Kyle Larson to the lead.
The short track season has been kind to Kyle Larson. He won at Richmond Raceway. Checkered flag in the air, and Kyle Larson wins at Martinsville Speedway.
Hello again, and welcome to Selling Speed, the podcast. I'm your host, Bob Quick. And I just want to remind you that you can get this content straight to your mobile device just by subscribing for free at any major podcast platform. Just search the term Selling Speed. This month, we're going to talk to an expert in research. I call it Mark Greenspan, Selling Loyalty. NASCAR fans and radio listeners are a very loyal bunch. I met Mark at a sales conference in Miami late last fall. We hit it off immediately. Our companies serve the same industry. We believe in the power of radio. Plus, he's just a good dude. Mark is CEO and founding partner of Research Director, Inc. It's a company that enables radio stations to increase revenue and make critical programming decisions with confidence through research. It's a data-driven society that we live in, and they can help you connect the dots to dollars. You may have seen his articles in Radio Inc. Recently, two of those articles hit home with me because they show the parallels that radio station listeners have with NASCAR fans. They are about loyalty and the buying power of people 55 and older. I asked Mark to join me to share some of the information from those articles so that we could connect the dots between your radio station's listeners and NASCAR fans.
Hey, thanks for taking the time today, Mark. Almost immediately, in your Selling Audience Loyalty article in Radio Inc., you talk about the emotional bond that listeners have with their favorite radio station, which goes beyond a transactional relationship to a real value proposition for clients. Can you tell us how research can support this tenet that most sellers have always believed, but maybe didn't have the facts to prove it?
So first, I want to thank you for inviting me to participate in your podcast, Bob. It's an honor to be here. So in order for advertising to be effective, it needs to reach enough people, and those people need to be exposed to the ad an adequate number of times. Obviously, I'm talking about reach and frequency. It doesn't help if your ad's heard by a lot of people once or twice, and it's also less effective if your ad is heard too many times by too few people. So the part of any station's audience that's most likely to hear the ad enough times are its heaviest listeners, viewers, readers, etc. In radio, we define this loyal and valuable part of the audience with three metrics: time spent listening, first preference listening, or P1, and cume duplication.
I haven't seen it in other industries, but that first preference P1 listener terminology is kind of unique to our industry. What makes a listener a P1, and how do we use that information about them to sell?
So actually, the term might be specific to radio, but the concept is not. The P1, or first preference customer, is the person who spends the most time with your station. They spend more time with your station than any other station, or they spend more time, more dollars buying one product versus another product. Thus, they're more likely to hear your message on your station than any other station that they cume. And that makes it easier to reach them with that impactful frequency that makes the campaign more effective.
So that brings up a thought that, you know, it's kind of like the 80-20 rule. Those P1s, maybe they make up a smaller amount of your audience, but they are much more heavy listeners than the rest.
Yeah, that's spot on. I mean, P1 might be a term that's specific to radio, but the concept is true for every industry, for every business, for every kind of media consumption. A smaller part of the customer base or the audience contributes an outsized amount of the purchasing or the listening or the consuming of the media. And the term for that is the Pareto principle. It's the 80-20 rule that we always refer to, the Pareto principle. And sometimes it might be 70-30, or sometimes it might be 90-10, but every single business
and every single media outlet has these heavy users, and they give an outsized amount of the listening or the purchasing to that business.
We found that NASCAR radio listeners are what I like to call supercharged P1s. You know, I'm making that term up, but I can tell you that over 30% of our fans specifically follow the sport on the radio, and that the stories that you may have heard about listeners watching TV with the volume turned down and listening to our broadcast at the same time are true. Because we're radio distributed content, our listenership composition looks a lot like every radio station's, with listening at about 70% in the car. Now, we're at about 20% in the home and about 10% at work. That at-work listening percentage looks a little bit lower than local stations might, because we only broadcast for the most part on Sundays. But interestingly enough, that 20% of at-home listening, I can tell you that 40% of that 20% are that supercharged P1 fans, because they are watching the race on TV but listening to us. The 70% in the car are probably P1s as well, but those supercharged P1 listeners, that crowd watching and listening at the same time, I think they are just a little bit more engaged with the station and the sport than the others.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. What you're talking about here is a term that has been around for over 30 years called raving fans. There was a book written about it by Ken Blanchard and Sheldon Bowles and a few other people.
For sure.
They were focused on customer service, but the end result is a strong bond or relationship with your product or service. The idea here is that these are not just heavy users of your product, but they're so connected to what you're offering that they become evangelists. They spread the word to others, and I would definitely put NASCAR fans in that category.
In your article, you also touch on time spent listening as a loyalty selling point. Can you share your findings?
Right. So time spent listening is one key metric of listener engagement. People don't tend to tune away from content that they like. And as we discussed before, longer listening times mean the listener is more likely to be exposed to more messages from advertisers. That higher TSL builds the frequency of a schedule more quickly than programming that has lower TSL.
I know TSL can be all over the board depending upon a local station's format and other factors that are involved in it. And it's a great indicator of that emotional connection with the station, like you just said. But for our NASCAR broadcasts, specifically, time spent listening sits at approximately an average of 1 hour and 16 minutes, and that's over 25% of a typical race broadcast. Are there any radio stations out there that can say listeners spend 25% of their broadcast hours with them? You know, that would be around 6 hours a day. I suppose it's possible, especially if you have a station that thrives with listening at work. But I think it shows that how truly loyal those listeners can be, whether it is to the sport or to the station, that that's our average.
Yeah, and the answer to that question varies greatly depending on the type of programming and the competitive landscape. You know, if you have direct competition and you're splitting the listening between you, the time spent listening is going to be lower. But I'll tell you this, on some markets, the average time spent listening to all of radio is 7 to 8 hours per week. So if NASCAR fans are spending 5 quarter hours or 1 hour and 16 minutes listening to a given race, that's going to account for a significant amount of the overall TSL on a given day. So in general, I'd agree that this is a sign of strong loyalty to the content that NASCAR and the MRN are offering.
The final point I'd like to make on loyalty, the final point that you made on loyalty is duplication. That's probably easier to show when there's no direct format competition, but how does it look like when there is a direct format competitor?
Yeah, so this answer also varies by situation. If you have high duplication with another media outlet, it means it's easier to reach your listeners on that other outlet. When you have lower duplication, those listeners will be easiest to reach on your station or program. So obviously the goals of the advertising campaign need to be factored in, but if you're trying to reach specific people, you need to understand the duplication between the different stations and programming that you're buying.
We're lucky at MRN that we have an exclusive product, and our NASCAR fans can't be reached by another radio station in the market. But that doesn't mean that an advertiser inside NASCAR programming on television shouldn't advertise also inside NASCAR radio programming. Studies have shown that using radio as well as TV multiplies the effectiveness of any advertising campaign. It's a case that 1 + 1 = more than 2. Sometimes it's 3 and 4.
I mean, I agree. And I've seen studies and actual data that show that moving some of your ad spend from TV to radio can increase both the reach and the frequency of a campaign without adding any cost to the campaign. So, and obviously that same logic would apply if you were able to spend additional dollars on radio for the campaign, teaming it up with your TV spend. Either way, your buy would become more cost effective.
Yeah, that's a great point too, because, you know, that's the objection that a radio seller is going to get if they prospected the television broadcast, they walk into a client with their NASCAR radio pitch. That's a great way to defeat that objection. You know, when the client says, well, I'm already spending money in NASCAR. Well, you're not getting the entire audience, and the effectiveness of that campaign is going to be, you know, multiplied because you are using both. You can do so very inexpensively by adding a little bit more or taking a little bit away from TV and putting it towards radio. So that's a great point. Let's use my favorite NASCAR theme transition. We're going to shift gears now to your article from Radio Inc. called Selling the Value of the Older Audience. Marketers consistently chase after younger audiences. They've been doing it ever since you and I were young, Mark. There's a value in that to build brand awareness and loyalty. However, they miss much of the spending power of the population over 50 or even over 60. Those, you know, the boomers are a huge generation out there with more spending power than their parents or their grandparents had when they were their ages. These are demos where radio and frankly NASCAR as well do quite well in. As a radio station, how can a seller highlight the value of that older audience?
So I agree with you, and I'm sure everybody listening will agree that this is a big challenge. I like to think about it in terms of Willie Sutton. And somebody asked him why he robbed banks, and he said, because that's where the money is. And the same logic applies to the older portion of the listening and viewing audiences. There's probably products that older people won't buy as much as younger audiences would, but many products and services are equally valuable to 25, 54, and 55 plus audiences. And some services, and I'm thinking of things like medical or travel or financial services, they might have even greater appeal to older audiences. So I've always wondered why an advertiser would shy away from trying to reach higher income people that need their product and service just because they're over 55. Their money is green, just like that of the younger listeners. I agree, you might not be able to convince a CPG company that they want to get a 55-year-old to pick a new brand of soap or deodorant. But if we can start with products and services that have that greater appeal to those older listeners, we should be able to make some progress on this.
Absolutely. You know, 10 years ago when I sold local radio, I always used that term qualified to buy. And that's what this older demo is, correct?
Yeah, these people need many of these products and services, and they have the financial resources to do so. You know, these are not the same kind of 55-year-olds that were out there 30 years ago or 50 years ago when the 18 to 49 and 25 to 54 demos were invented and became the primary buying demos for media. They're much better
off. Yeah, for sure. All you have to do is look around a NASCAR track. You know, the folks getting out of those $250,000 to $500,000 RVs are boomers. I mean, and boomers still love radio and they still love NASCAR. So that's a great point as well. You know, this has been a great discussion, Mark, and I appreciate you joining me today. But before I let you go, I want you to, you know, share a little bit about your company with our listeners and let us know what you can do for a local station.
Well, thanks again, Bob, for inviting me. And for over 30 years, research director has been on a mission to help radio stations across the country get the most out of their audience research investment. Our clients think of us as the ratings experts. We don't just deliver data. Our expert consultants work closely with our clients to grow their ratings and their revenue using proprietary analysis tools and custom sales materials. So with Research Director on your team, you'll make more confident programming decisions. You'll compete on the same level with larger groups, and you'll become a marketing resource to your advertisers, all while saving valuable time and money.
So, that brought up a question to me. Many of our stations don't subscribe or are not in a Nielsen mark yet. Is there a way that you can help those individuals as well?
The main thing is just having data. There are certainly tools that are out there that could be helpful, but we're living in a world now where if people are doing any kind of digital advertising or marketing, they're getting a lot of data about their campaigns, and it's more challenging to try and compete with that if you don't have access to research. So it doesn't have to be Nielsen, but it's very, very helpful to have data in order for us to help you. If you're a member of the RAB, they have some tools that we can use on your behalf, but our main thrust is definitely working with the Nielsen data. It's a valuable tool for the purpose that we're using it for.
Great. Well, once again, I appreciate your time, Mark. If a radio station owner or manager wanted to contact you, how could they do that?
So, again, thanks, Bob, for having me. And please visit our website. It's researchdirectorinc.com. Or you can call us at 410-295-6619. We're here to help our clients win. Thanks again, Bob.
And now for our favorite part of the podcast every month, where we feature a radio station or a cool idea. This time around, we're featuring one of our great MRN team members, Pat Jaggers. Pat is a producer on the Motor Racing Network production staff. About 6 months ago, he joined MRN from ESPN Louisville, 680 WHBE, where he produced and hosted sports programs for 6 years. Pat is on a team of producers that assemble MRN signature programs, NASCAR Live and NASCAR Today, as well as the NASCAR Live Race Day pre-race program. In addition to his radio duties, he also produces the MRN digital program, NASCAR Coast to Coast, which focuses on NASCAR roots racing and NASCAR weekly series across the country. Pat lives in Charlotte and enjoys everything that the city has to offer, from local food and craft breweries to Top Golf and racing events in the area with his friends. And that does it for Selling Speed, the podcast for April 2023. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully the ideas that we talked about with Mark Greenspan can help you with your sales as you hit the street talking NASCAR. Once again, you can subscribe to this podcast for free at any major podcast platform just by searching Selling Speed. I'm Bob Quick for MRN. Happy selling.